Hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction.
Deep into the sex zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh God, okay.
Are we all good, ladies?
Wow.
Queer AF.
Shout out to Joanna Burns for making that dope intro you just heard, and shout out to Amanda Duncan for making us sound so pretty. Hello.
There it is. And you gotta keep doing
and
the
welcome.
There you go.
Breathy.
It's a
and welcome to hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction. Welcome to the Serial Podcast. No, I can't. I can't even make that joke. I've never seen or heard it.
That's actually pretty good. All podcasts are
the Serial Podcast is what threw it off.
Yeah.
I'm your Zaddy Amanda, and to my right is
your co-Zaddy, Ashley Perez. And to my right,
I'm your step-Zaddy, Kirsten King.
That was so timid.
Yeah,
I feel
was
like
a very timid. We've made fun of you too much.
Well, I think it's because we have that special.
Oh, now you're don't tease it. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for being here. Instead of the bi-weekly shout out, we're going to do a reviewer shout out because
not that we want to erase the bi-weekly.
We're still shouting you out.
We
bi-weekly.
Yep. Okay. Here's one. Am in Love says, it's definitely something I look forward to listening. They're entertaining, hilarious, without a doubt, will make you laugh and brighten your day. Aw, thank you. That's so nice of you.
Thanks, yeah. Am in Love. We love you, too.
We love you.
Wow, you guys commit. I like you as a person.
Element Queen 10. We internet love you. I think everyone knows that. This is love with a L-U-V. Oh, I don't. What if someone texted you love you with a L-U-V?
Oh, my God.
If you're like, I love you with a L-O-V-E, and then they text back, love you, too, L-U-V.
Okay, Element Queen said, many laughs and so many feels. This podcast is so funny and makes me feel connected to the community. Thanks for all the laughs. Thank you for listening. I was going to say thanks for all the laughs, but we haven't heard your laugh or that would be creepy.
Yeah, thank you guys for reviewing it. It means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. And the more you share it and the more you review it, the more we can keep doing this.
And now we have a very special, special, special treat.
Oh, man. Talk about a bi-weekly shout out. One of our Girlship fans and Queer as Fiction fans.
Carol's a Demon associate producer, I believe.
Yeah.
Made a special track of just remixing Kirsten saying, I'm your step, Zaddy.
And it is.
It's bomb.
The
it's
new soundtrack
cool.
to my life.
Let's take a listen now. This is from Carmel. I kept wanting to say Carmel. I could be wrong on the pronunciation of that. I apologize.
Let us know.
Yeah.
And thank you for supporting queer content. And for making this dope remix.
I want to be a step zaddy.
And I'm your step zaddy, Kirsten King.
Step zaddy. Step zaddy. Step zaddy.
No, I'm your step zaddy.
No!
God, the beat really drops.
It's such a banger. When were you British?
I don't know when I did the British accent, but I love it.
I'm your step zaddy. Wow, she just had to listen to all those tracks of you saying step zaddy over
honestly,
and over again.
Honestly, what a hero. Thank you, Carmel.
Didn't you say someone came up to you IRL and called
oh,
you step zaddy?
Oh my God, yes. To the woman I met at, I was at like an LA female composer event, and I'm not a female composer. It's just, you know, women supporting women. But I saw this woman came up to me and she was like, oh my God, step zaddy. I was like, whoa.
We didn't think of what that would be like to be called
yeah.
that IRL.
But it was so cool to meet a fan in real life. So,
wow, so we have so many shout outs this week.
Yeah. So lots of cool, great things happening. We love you guys and we love this community. So.
If you guys see Kirsten on the street, just yell step zaddy
oh
at
God.
Her.
And then also don't forget to follow our new Twitter account.
Yeah. We are on Twitter now at Queer as Fic, so give us a follow there. I troll Amanda on it, which is fun.
Yeah, so fun.
And I'm the only one that has a password to the account, so
yeah.
That was supposed to be my evil laugh. I haven't nailed that yet, but give us a follow. So it's a time I have some stuff to talk about. It's not my underwear this time. This time it is my other favorite thing, which is skincare.
You love skincare.
I really love
you
skincare.
You live for skincare.
It makes me feel luxurious.
She loves a dewy face.
I love a dewy face. And
that was my Jonathan Venice.
I love a dewy face. But True Botanicals is our sponsor this week, and they are a skincare line that's both safe for the skin and effective. So not only does it make you feel luxurious and amazing, but their entire line is actually certified safe for people and the planet. And wow. You guys love the planet.
Yes, we stan Earth.
We stan Earth.
We stan Earth. Get your shit together.
Amanda laughs every time we say we stan Earth, but we really do.
I just like to look Ashley dead in the eyes just to say it.
We stan Earth, and so does True Botanicals. So if you guys want to try out their stuff and feel like a bougie queen with their skincare too, go to truebotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off orders $40 or more for your first purchase with the code QUEER, Q-U-E-E-R, and... I feel like that's Ashley, you like doing the deal on these. That's a good deal.
That's a good deal. It's like half off.
That's great. So,
heck yeah.
Again, use the code QUEER, Q-U-E-E-R, at truebotanicals.com if you guys want to check it out.
Sorry, guys. I might still be a little tipsy.
Yeah, they did. They filmed Drunk Lesbians before this. So when I got here, they were like, get on my level. I had one Coors Light, and I was like, this is water. I'm done.
That's right. We were shouting that.
I feel like you guys are now at the hungover stage of your
life. We are. I'm very tired.
Like, they both want to go to sleep.
I want to sleep so badly. And I got in trouble for sleeping last time. I got shamed. It's on the internet now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, you guys want to hear about how I came out?
Just really jumped into that. So as we said, we're going to alternate between fan-submitted fan fiction and then queer milestones. So Ashley's going to tell you guys how she came out.
I'm so sleepy.
I'm so sleepy.
You guys, it's been feeling like Christmas to me lately. Does it feel like that to anyone?
It feels, once it hits October, I'm like so in the holiday spirit. Like, yeah. I want to go get pumpkins.
I want to go get country pumpkins.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
We have to do a full holiday.
I heard pumpkins and I was like, why are we laughing?
She said bumpkins.
Oh, I don't know why that was so funny.
I was scared that you were going to say like a tree. Because
I thought you were going to say, I was scared you were going to say a blumpkin, which I was like, ew.
You guys don't know what a blumpkin is.
Oh my God, don't look it up on our Urban Dictionary. It's a blowjob while you're pooping.
Oh!
You know what? I feel like I have heard that, actually.
Straight people are weird. Well, I guess gay people can do it, too.
Straight people are not okay.
Oh, man.
Straight people are not okay.
I'd buy that shirt.
Are you okay, straight people?
Straight people, how you holding up?
Straights, you good? I like this podcast just when we laugh forever.
I know. I hope you guys like it, too. I hope you just feel like you're here.
Somebody just does a super cut of us laughing, and it's like hours long. Just my cackle.
Oh, man.
Anyway, come out.
Come on out.
Wow, and now it feels like the voice in my head. The time was 2004. Well, okay, so I've known I was gay since, like, I started liking people. Like, the first crush I had was, like, on a girl in kindergarten. And so I've been holding in being gay for a long time because I didn't come out until I was 23.
How old are you now for reference?
I don't care.
If you're comfortable talking.
No, I don't care. I'm 20.
It is Hollywood.
I'm 29. We actually have real friends in real life who lie about their age who are actors.
You know who you are and you don't actually listen to this podcast, so it's fine.
We'll tell you later. Okay. But yeah, so I didn't come out for a long, long time. I grew up super Christian and always went to Christian schools, and being gay was like something that like people would gossip about literally at church, or like when people were gay and we found out people were gay, they'd literally be like, he's gay. And I also, it was always men. I never knew any lesbian women. Mm-hmm. So it was like really, I remember being obsessed with like fanfic and things like that because it was the only way that I could like find gay content. Because I feel like growing up, Amanda and I talked about this, our sexual awakening was the John Tucker Must Die, or like of that. Do you remember the scene where Brittany Snow and
I know Sophia exactly Bush what scene kiss? You're talking about, but just, I don't. That wasn't my sexual awakening.
Not sexual awakening, but that was like one of the few pieces of content.
Yeah. That was a moment for me too. I saw that opening night.
And yeah, I was like, wow, I need to buy this DVD. I know the reason now, but I had such a strong desire to buy the DVD. Yeah. But yeah, so I didn't come out until I went all throughout college. I was in a sorority in college, which surprises a lot of people. So like, wasn't going to come out in a big group of ladies.
But why? That's like such a common thing. I know so many lesbians or queer women who are from who were in sororities.
Yeah, that's true.
I know
true.
A lot. I mean, it makes sense.
Just it's like the same. There's gays everywhere.
Well, that, and also it's like an all-girl school. Everybody expects them to be queer coming out.
But I think, it's weird now because I'm so out and like it doesn't, it's weird for me to think that I was ever anxious about it, but I really was. Like I came out finally, I moved to BuzzFeed in New York in 2013, and on that National Coming Out Day, which I think is October 11th, right? Or October something?
Yeah, it's 11th.
October 11th, I was out with Matt Belisai and Heaven, who worked at BuzzFeed, and I came out to them, like, while crying over pho. Like, I have something to tell you guys. And I was like, I'm gay. And it was crazy, because I just had never, ever said it out loud. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's, like, that is a really powerful moment when you say it out loud. And both of them started crying. And they're like, wait, is this real?
Aww.
Funny story. The second time I came out to my friends at BuzzFeed, I had planned this whole dinner with my friends. I'm waiting until the end of the dinner. I'm like, you guys, I have to say something. And I came out as bi. And not just because it's like a gateway thing, which I think for some people it is. I really don't know what I identify as, queer, pan, bi. Like, I have been attracted to men before. But so I come out, and then my friend Ella, literally while she's eating pizza, goes, same. I was like, what do you mean same? Are you like coming out on top of my coming out? What the hell? And she's like, yes. So the second time I came out, one of my best friends came out with me. But the hardest one was like obviously coming out to my parents, who are super, super Christian. And I came out to my, the thing is like when you come out, you have so many coming out stories because you have to tell so many people.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
I told one group of friends, and one of my friends literally said, I said, I'm bi. And she said, no, you're not.
Whoa.
And that was her immediate response. I had another group of friends who was just like, I had my best friend ever was the second person that I told in New York, and she didn't talk to me for a while. And it was really after that, I didn't come out for a long time after that because I was really afraid.
Yeah, once you get a reaction that solidifies your worst fears.
What was her name?
No, my best friend ever. Like her name wasn't ever. Just like my best friend in the world. We're still best friends, and her little brother actually came out a couple of years ago, and she apologized to me and said that like me coming out really helped her with that experience. But when I came out to my parents, it was my mom's birthday, and I got really close to my family, and they lived in San Diego. And every time I would come home, like I had been getting a lot closer to them as I got older. Mm-hmm. And every time I would go home, I felt like they didn't know me. And I would literally have panic attacks and have to pull over on the side of the road, like on the way down. Cause I just couldn't, I felt like I was lying to them. Mm-hmm. And so on my mom's birthday in the hotel lobby of the JW Marriott at LA Live, I was like, I'm gay.
Aww.
And the first thing my dad asked was, what if you want to be a CEO?
Oh, whoa.
It was so weird. I was like, that's your question?
It's such a weird, like, I think that parents, a lot of times their reaction is to fear, like, a perceived life they think their child is losing when you come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, him thinking that you can only be a CEO if you're straight is, like, yeah.
And then that was a goal. Like there were so many, and my mom just didn't talk to me for a long time. Like my mom for like 6 months, me and my mom were super close. And like for like 6 months, she really couldn't talk to me that whole night. She was just like rubbing my hand and like couldn't really say anything. And then I found out later that was because for my mom, a lot of it, exactly what you're saying, was about this perceived life she had for me. And a lot of her hopes were about my wedding, mm-hmm. which is so patriarchal.
Yeah.
But it was like all about like, I thought your husband was going to walk you down the aisle and you were going to wear this dress and we would share this moment. I think mothers think of like when their daughters get married, then it like it bonds them together because now they're both like moving into motherhood.
Yeah. Also,
and that
generation doesn't think you can like have a nuclear family anymore or like a family at all. They kind of like don't. It's harder for them to conceptualize that.
Exactly. So I think But yeah, it is funny because I was like, oh, which coming out story am I going to tell? Because all of those were equally hard and important. It took me like 2 full years to come out to all of my friends and family. And I think a lot of people ask us advice on coming out, and it's okay to come out little by little. Like
totally.
You don't have to tell, like Amanda didn't tell your dad for like a couple of years, right?
I came out to my friends at like 16 and I didn't come out to my dad till 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is totally fine.
I like wrote it and I mean, I'll tell my story a different time, but like I the first thing that like made it feel real and made me feel valid is I actually wrote it in my diary. Yeah. I was like, I think I like men and women, and mm-hmm. I like knew. And then it's funny because like, do you ever go back and like edit your diary yeah. years later? And you're like, I used to go back and edit my diary and like leave notes for myself.
I would
like,
do that
you
too.
You're such a loser. But like when I wrote, like, I think I like men and women, I went back and edited it and crossed out the think. Like, I like men and women.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I feel like people come out and like, even if you just come out to yourself, that's a really big moment.
I think that's one of the biggest moments, honestly. Like you have to come out to yourself first. Mm-hmm. Mine was actually too, I would like journal and write poems about people. And like, I changed one of the pronouns one time from he to she. Mm-hmm. And that to me felt like coming out.
Yeah.
It's so hard. You know, it builds up in your chest for so long to say mm-hmm. I'm gay, and it felt like a panic attack every time mm-hmm. I thought about saying it. And now I'm like, oh, I'm so gay and I love being gay and yeah. I like tweet about it.
Yeah,
all
we're
day
like
long.
RIP straight people. How you yeah. doing?
But I really do think that it's important to talk about, as much as I want narratives in film and stuff to be more nuanced and not just be about coming out. It is really hard. Like mm-hmm. the biggest thing that helped me that gave me a lot of strength was I was watching randomly this Hannah Hart video where she was just answering like quick fire questions and someone said, describe coming out in 5 words. And she said, it was hard, but better. It was hard, but better. Mm-hmm. And I was just waiting for it to feel better.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true. It's really hard to come out, but it feels amazing.
You just
afterward.
Feel like yourself after. Mm-hmm. Even if like yourself is really sad and isolated, you yeah. like at least feel like yourself.
Don't you guys feel like that though now? Like post coming out and being queer
oh, yeah.
now, I'm like, why was it such a
It feels
deal
like you like
me?
Can breathe more, but also yeah. like I totally understand why you were scared and I was scared. Like all the reasons for feeling isolated and like you can't
yeah.
are like valid and even worse in more rural or like mm-hmm. you know religious areas and different countries and all that, as I tweeted the other day, in this economy to be straight.
It's rough,
but yeah, that's it. Now I'm out.
Time for me to talk about something again.
You love talking.
I love talking about things, and I'm very excited to talk about this company, Lola, because they saved the freaking day for me this week. Lola is one of our sponsors, who's a female-founded company offering a line of organic tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Mm. And literally, this box of tampons arrived on my door the day I got my period, like freaking...
Maybe they're magic tampons.
Light from heaven.
But we can't guarantee that that will happen to everyone.
Yeah, we can't guarantee they'll arrive right on your period, but they arrived for me. And the company itself is really cool because they're all about female empowerment, and so are we. And another thing I love about them is that for every purchase, they actually donate a feminine care product to homeless shelters across the U.S.
Aww,
so,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really cool company with
too.
A great mission.
Yeah, that's such a... God, that's something that people don't think about, especially because there's, like, the pink tax and everything.
Yeah.
So fuck up.
Yeah, you like don't think about those necessities you need if you're living on the street, but it's just nice to see companies who are like, making a concentrated effort to make that better. Another thing that's really cool about Lola is the FDA actually weirdly doesn't require feminine care products to disclose the ingredients which are in it, which is honestly kind of crazy and sketchy.
Does the government do anything?
But Lola... like discloses all the ingredients they use because they want to be transparent in what's in their products. So overall, it's a really cool company with a great product, and they saved me this week. So for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter queer when you subscribe. Again, that's mylola.com and the offer code is queer.
And you get 40% off?
Yeah.
That's wild. Almost half off.
It is 10% away from 50.
It is a good deal, y'all, for a good cause.
I'm going to use all these offer codes.
Me too.
Yeah.
So you, not in the tampon aisle.
What's next?
I think it's time to write some fiction.
You know what time it is.
Oh, dun, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
so
dun,
on our
dun,
new Twitter account, you guys dun, voted. And it was really a close race.
Like weirdly close.
It was like 29%, 30%, and 31%. And the...
Four people voted.
We had 587 votes.
Whoa.
Good sample size. No one voted for Fashion Week, which was one I wanted to do, but I understand it's not for everyone.
Yeah, it's not.
Kirsten was like, no one voted for Fashion Week. And we're like, Fashion Week's lame.
Yeah, we really we don't care about Fashion Week. Is amazing. And thank you all to the people who were tweeting at us Hailey Kiyoko's various amazing blazers. But
we should do a Kiyoko episode.
We should do a Kiyoko episode.
Wow.
But we're not because democracy.
This is a... You're cheer tater, Torrance.
But also your vote counts.
It's not a democracy. Counts, it's a cheerocracy. And you're a cheer tater, Torrance.
But we should do a Kiyoko episode sometime.
Yeah, at some point.
But this week...
Siren. Guys, that's my ride. I gotta go.
That's a stupid joke at me every time.
So stupid.
But this week is Harry Potter week.
Woo! Yay!
You're a wizard, Harry.
Ooh, that was really good.
Thank you.
It was between Simple Favor and Harry Potter, but...
But we wanted to wait till Simple Favor
came
out.
Yeah, we want to watch Simple Favor first.
We realized the logistical errors in our decision, and we were like, we don't know these characters because we haven't seen the movie yet.
We just know how they look at each other on panels, which is steamy.
Yeah.
So who are you guys doing for Harry Potter?
So...
And full disclosure, Amanda, have you read the books?
Oh my God.
Drag her.
Okay, to be fair.
No.
To be fair.
No.
I read the first three books.
Why would you stop there? The fourth one is the best one.
Okay, well, because I stopped. I was reading them in college. I had other things to do.
Like in college.
Yeah, like be in college. but I have seen all the movies, but I haven't seen them in a really long time, so.
Okay, so a little rusty. Who are you going to tear up?
So I'm going to do Hermione and Luna Lovegood.
Yes.
Mm. Harry Potter.
We were saying how Luna Lovegood is like totally the manic pixie dream girl of the Harry 100%. Potter universe.
Like if, yeah, Zooey Deschanel would 100% play the grown-up Luna Lovegood.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm doing Cho Chang and Fleur Delacour. She's Scottish.
Is she?
Cho, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Cho is or Fleur?
Cho. Cho Fleur is Scottish. Fleur is French.
Oh my God, that's a
I'll do the accents.
That's a very great couple. I love that pairing.
Fleur Cho. Cho Fleur.
Kirsten gave me that pairing, and I like how she's pretending that she did not. She's just like, I love that one.
Now I'm like, I'm like, damn, I wish I was doing that. But I'm going to do one for the boys this week. I'm going to do a little Harry and Draco, which there's a lot of really steamy fanfic, erotica, drawings, you name it, about those two online.
Okay, right. Type 15?
Type 15.
Bye. Wow, I could just fall asleep listening to
I really could. I can't do it. It's such a good score.
It's speaking of Christmas. Yeah. All right, let's do this.
All right, who's going first?
I can go. Okay. I enjoyed writing this Harry Draco fic. I hope you guys like
our... Oh, I forgot yours is Harry and Draco.
Yeah, I hope you guys like our first
MLM.
MLM.
What does the L stand for?
Love. Right?
Oh. I thought so. Man loving man.
Yeah, it's WLW is women love women.
Oh.
Some people will go by that.
It was the first day back at Hogwarts after school break, and Harry could feel the electricity buzzing in the air. While Harry had loved crashing with the Weasleys for the summer, there was something about being back here that felt right, that felt like home. Harry checked the time. He would be late for dinner if he didn't hurry up. He grabbed his Gryffindor robe and bounded down the stairs, excited to have the gang back together, to spend the night eating and joking as Hermione dropped not-so-subtle stories about the new spell she'd mastered, and Ron tried not to choke on whatever food floated in front of him in the Great Hall. As Harry ran down the stairs, he bid hello to the talking paintings as he went. But just as he was about to take his next step, the always temperamental staircase started shifting. Wait, but, Harry groaned to no one in particular. Now he would definitely be late for dinner. When the staircase finally landed somewhere, it was on a dimly lit hallway that Harry didn't recognize. He had never been down here in all his time at Hogwarts. Mm. Harry waited for a moment, willing for the stairs to shift again, but they seemed to be taking a stubborn, ill-timed break. Harry had no choice but to venture down the creepy hall. Cautiously, he stepped forward. A chill crept down his spine. A few candles floated in the air, and the people in painting slept. Something about this felt off. Harry grabbed his wand from his pocket, preparing himself in case anything went awry. "Oh, put that away, Potter. You'll take your own eye out, knowing you," a familiar voice spat. Harry whipped around, wand still in hand, only to see Draco Malfoy walking around the corner with a satisfied smirk on his face. "Wait, what are you doing here?" Harry said, sounding more frazzled than he would have liked. "Well, you see, this is my school and I'm enrolled here," Malfoy said sarcastically. Harry rolled his eyes and started to walk back towards the stairs. He wasn't in the mood for one of Draco's games tonight. Before he could get far, he felt Draco's hand reach out and stop him. "Wait," Draco said more softly this time. I'm sorry. You know I'm not great at this," Draco said. Harry softened. The truth was, while Draco and Harry were sworn enemies on the surface, they had engaged in some friendly relations last year. But when Harry didn't hear from Draco all summer, he assumed those moments they had shared didn't mean anything to him, or that Draco was embarrassed, or both. "I didn't hear from you all summer," Harry said coldly, doing his best to hold his ground. "Oh, and what was I supposed to do, just hop over to the Weasleys with some flu powder? Ick, no," Malfoy said. Harry raised his eyebrow at him. He hated when Draco talked bad about his friends. "Sorry, I mean, ick, no thank you," Malfoy said, giving the best apology anyone with Malfoy blood could give. "What do you want, Draco? I'm going to be late for dinner," Harry said, still not impressed. "Yeah, you like how I did that? Turns out you can bribe the staircases into working for you sometimes," Malfoy grinned. "That was you?" Harry started, but before he could even finish his sentence, Malfoy's hands were on his hips, gently pulling Harry towards him. "Do you mind?" Malfoy said, as he was mere inches away from Harry. Harry could feel his heart beating out of his chest. He wanted to be mad at Malfoy for not contacting him all summer, for this game of hot and cold, for making fun of his friends, for all of it. But it was impossible to hold him accountable when he could feel his breath on his face, when he could imagine what it would be like to kiss him. Harry let out a sigh. "You truly are the worst," he said before leaning in to kiss him. They kissed for a few minutes, letting the moment wash over them, knowing that when they parted and entered the Great Hall, Malfoy would be a Slytherin, Harry would be a Gryffindor, and they would go back to playing the part of sworn mortal enemies. As he kissed Malfoy, Harry knew it wouldn't last, but for a moment, it was nice to just pretend.
Wow. Oh my god. Also, do you know that my favorite fanfic ever is called It's Just Pretend?
Oh my god, no.
Which is basically For All the Boys I've Ever Loved Before. But holy shit, that was so good.
I love Harry and Malfoy.
It was fun to write Harry Potter stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, I found myself getting really nostalgic as I wrote it.
I felt giddy like a kid.
That was great. I also feel like that was a sexier ending than we usually get. Usually it's just a kiss. When it's two men, they, like, pull each other's hips
in. Yeah.
My God,
I like it nasty for them, and I also alluded that it had gotten nasty before.
Should we do it instead of Totino's quaffles or something like that? Or snitches?
Ooh, snitches.
Golden snitches. Yeah. I'm going to give that 5 out of 5 golden snitches. That was amazing.
I agree.
Thanks, guys.
Wow, you really, like, got me in the Harry Potter. I feel like I need to
write a fan fiction spinoff of Harry Potter, because I could do this for days.
Me too. Well, okay, I feel like all of us were writing for a lot longer
this time. And we, like, just were, like, so in the zone.
Okay. Do you want to go next?
I want to go next just because there are inaccuracies in mine, I know.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to end on that.
Okay, great. Okay, we mentioned Amanda's a little rusty on the Harry Potter lore.
Well, especially because I'm like, okay, I can't blend timelines here because I was like, when did the Weasley brothers start their, like, prank store?
Later,
right?
It's not while they're still in school, though, is it?
No, they did prank school. While they were in school. They did pranks while they were in
but
school,
not the, okay, no, but not the store.
They didn't have a store, no.
Because I couldn't remember, because I had, like, right fireworks in this, and I was like, I remember that they had, like, a firework, like, I think.
We'll go with it. Okay. We buy into this world.
Who is yours again?
Mine is Hermione and Luna.
Oh, nice. Emma Watson. Love her.
I know, same. "He kissed me," Hermione thought to herself as she was sent running out of the Gryffindor lounge. Well, she was walking swiftly. After all, it was against the rules to be running in the Hogwarts hallways. "Ron kissed me." She made her way to the bathroom where she could have a little peace and quiet to think for a moment. She shut the door and bolted into a stall. Her head was spinning. She had always thought Ron was cute, but that kiss, it was uncalled for. It was out of nowhere. It was unplanned, and frankly, it wasn't even that good. Wait, why wasn't it good? She wondered. Hermione had always thought her first kiss with a boy would be like fireworks, like the crazy ones that look like dragons. This is where I was like, I don't...
Now you're thinking of Lord of the Rings.
Fuck. Hermione was pacing back and forth within a stall, an incredible feat as it was only about a meter wide. She sat down on the toilet and put her head into her hands, let out a long, frustrated groan. "Candy?" a voice squeaked out. "Not now, Myrtle." A hand reached under the stall with a chocolate frog. "I heard they're your favorite." "Luna?" Hermione asked, confused. "What are you doing here?" "I like to come into the stall and eat candy from time to time. It makes me feel like I'm a miniature human inside of my own candy box." "Is that sanitary?" "Probably not, but chocolate does help with boy troubles." "You're having boy troubles?" "Of course not, silly. You are." Hermione, shocked by the fact that she knew, swung open the door and opened Luna's stall. How did you know that? I could tell by the way you slammed the stall. Well, it's not about a boy. It's about me, really. My brain can't seem to comprehend why I wouldn't like a kiss from someone. It's because you don't like boys. No, I do. Don't I? Yes, I think I do. I do. I don't. What is happening? Don't worry. Luna stood up and put her hand on Hermione's arm ever so gently. Hermione could feel her heart skip a beat. We all question everything. Luna swept past her.
Very Luna.
Luna would totally wear a shirt that said, question everything.
She'd be like, we all question everything. Hermione Granger.
Luna swept past her, practically fluttering on air. She turns quickly to face Hermione. Birdie's bots? That's the jelly beans. Yeah. Luna hands her a jelly bean and she takes it. She's overcome with emotions. What flavor is that? She asked with a smile. It's the feeling of love. In a jelly bean? How? Magic, Luna smiled. I have to go now. I have a meeting with the hippogriff. Hermione was confused as she gazed at Luna. She'd always thought she was so bizarre, but there was something about Luna that made her stomach do somersaults. Luna walked past her and her perfume danced on Hermione's nose. Luna stopped, turned quickly. Oh, one more thing. She approached Hermione. This is what a first kiss is supposed to feel like. Luna leaned in and kissed Hermione gently on the lips. Fireworks. Hermione couldn't believe it. It was what that was supposed to feel like. She was even tasting the love jelly bean again. Luna broke the kiss, smiled at Hermione, and fluttered out the door. Am I in love with Luna Lovegood? Hermione wondered out loud. Who isn't? A voice moans from a stall. Hermione turns quickly to see Moaning Myrtle floating there, looking longingly in the direction that Luna fluttered off to.
Oh my god.
That was amazing.
I loved the this is what a first kiss is supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
Damn.
Very, I like
Luna
how Luna's
has
a top
game
yeah.
in that. Luna is a total top in that.
I like how when Hermione was wondering if she was gay though, she definitely was written as Anna Kendrick. Am I? No. Anna.
It was a little bit more Janet from The Good Place.
Oh, that was
great.
That was really good.
Wow, five out of five snitches for me.
Oh, yeah, same. I feel like the vibe was just all there.
Wow, Luna was seriously such a top in that. And I would not have expected Hermione to be, like, the bottom in that situation.
But it was cool because, like, Luna was also still in her voice, just
yeah.
like, hi.
Question everything.
Okay. Wow. I'm loving Harry Potter. Do you guys want to go to Harry Potter World right now?
Yes.
I would go.
I think it closes in by the time we get there.
Damn it. Okay.
But we should go.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to try and do their accents.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, here we go. I feel like Ashley always does this for like the first two lines. And
it's just going to be Gal Gadot reading.
I wrote a lot of... The hard part is it's Scottish and French, both accents that I can do, but it's going to be hard to switch in between.
Let's see.
Fleur Delacour was out late. Very late, in fact. It had been a few days since her embarrassing finish in the first Triwizard task, where she placed last, even after Harry Potter, a fourth year who had no business entering. But that was besides the point. She only had a few more days to figure out what to do with the stupid egg, and she had absolutely no ideas. Her feet carried her quickly, though she wasn't quite sure where. Hogwarts wasn't her home campus, and she didn't know where to find solace, until she found herself at the edge of a still and quiet lake. This will do, she mumbled to herself, arranging her cloak underneath her so she could sit at the lake's edge. She held the large golden egg in her hand. Revelio, she said, pointing her wand at the egg, hoping anything would happen, but still it lay taunting her. She tried spell after spell with no success, finally ready to give up when she heard a rustling nearby. Lumos, she shouted into the dark, hoping to reveal the source of the noise. Oh, I'm so sorry, a small voice replied. It was Cho Chang, and she was wearing hardly anything. As Fleur stood up, Cho quickly gathered her cloak around her. I'm sorry, I'll just be leaving. I was going to go for a swim. Couldn't sleep. I don't know anyone else would be here. No, you don't have to leave. I'm Fleur, Fleur said with an outstretched hand. Cho. Bonsoir, madame. Asseyez-vous? Fleur pointed to the spot next to her cloak. Cho didn't move. I'm sorry, I don't speak French. Oh, pardon, I didn't realize. I asked if you'd like to sit, Fleur replied. Oh, yes, that'd be lovely. So do you always swim alone this late? Do you guys like my accent?
I love it. I've been trying not to, like, say anything because you're in the zone, and it's really hard to switch between narration, Scottish, and French. But you're doing a good
impressive,
job.
Impressive.
Lately, I've been watching Outlander. So do you always swim alone this late? Fleur said, cozying up to a cold show. Oh, no, not always. I just can't sleep because the tournament has me a bit flustered.
That's a good accent.
Yeah, that's a great accent.
Tell me about it, Fur giggled. Oh, of course, I'm sorry, Tro said sheepishly. How are you feeling about the next challenge? Well, I have this egg, but I can't seem to open it. That's a problem indeed, Cho said. And you've tried spells? Oui. And rubbing it? Fleur gave her a look of disbelief. Magic lamps and such, you never know. Well, I guess there's only one thing left. Cho reached over, grabbing the egg from Fleur's hand, feeling a bit of electricity as their hands touched. She picked up the egg, her robes falling from her side, revealing Cho's bikini lit up only by the moonlight reflecting on the water. And without warning, she dropped the egg onto the ground. It hit with a hard thunk. Immediately, Fleur burst out laughing. What are you doing? You're crazy, she said, pulling Cho back down to sit by her. I felt like it was worth a try, Cho said, smiling and shivering all at once. Oh my, you must be freezing. Here, come under my arms.
Nice, good move.
The two of them sat quietly for a moment side by side enjoying the lake until suddenly the egg started rolling towards the water. Mon Dieu, Fleur shouted, running towards the water's edge, but it was too late. It had rolled in. It was lost. Now she would surely never win. I'm so sorry, Cho replied. I'll dive in and get it, she said, running towards the water. Cho jumped in without abandon. Fleur didn't know what to do. Should she go in with her? Just when Fleur was starting to get scared, Cho's head appeared above the water. Fleur, it's singing. The egg, it's the next clue. What? Fleur exclaimed, jumping into the water. She was right. It was the next clue. Cho, you genius. How can I ever thank you? Cho looked back at her, smiling gleefully, and before she could reply, Fleur grabbed her face, kissing her fully and passionately. They broke apart, laughing from the excitement and shivering from the cold. Have you ever wanted to see a Ravenclaw come in room? Cho said, pulling her out of the lake and into the night. The end.
What?
Have you ever wanted to see a Ravenclaw come
in? Nice.
Yeah, they're going to fuck.
How do I translate that into an actual pickup
line? Have you ever wanted to see a North Hollywood apartment?
Wow, that was so hard doing all those accents.
That was great. Impressive. You really, I was like holding my breath when you had to go quickly between Scottish, French,
and narrator.
The French was a little Gal Gadot.
Yeah, the was. French was absolutely Gal Gadot.
It she turned into up. Gal.
She showed up a couple times.
It was too hard to
not. Gal was there.
Gal was definitely
Gal
there.
Gal is always in our hearts.
That was great.
Also, I feel like we didn't shout out to Mindy and Anne for listening.
Oh my goodness. God, Anne.
Sorry it's so Mindy. Late.
So rude. Hopefully you guys didn't trail off because you didn't hear us shout you out sooner.
Not to take away from your story. We were talking about Gal always being there.
No. Oh, we gotta shout them out. And
5 out of 5 snitches again. I really feel like this is our genre, guys.
You know, are we gonna write the next Harry Potter movie?
I guess
we're gonna write a queer Harry Potter.
The one thing that I was proud of is that in the book, it could be canon because in the book, it's never revealed how Fleur finds out how to use the golden egg.
Ooh.
Interesting.
So this could have happened.
Are you listening, J.K. Rowling?
Oh my also, God. Thank you, J.K. Rowling, for listening.
I love the Harry Potter world. My
yeah,
God.
That was really fun.
That was super fun.
I like that.
Now I'm just going to like want to sit in the Harry Potterness of it all.
Yeah. That was great.
Bum, bum, so bum, bum.
Wow, great 5 out of 5 snitches. Do we even write bad fanfic anymore or no?
Wow, are we
amazing.
We are on our high horses.
I loved every one of those.
Please don't knock us down. 5 out of 5 on iTunes. Thank
we
you.
We should bring in a guest, an impartial guest judge.
Yes.
Yeah,
to really bring us back down from the...
Down to earth.
Wow, yeah. But really kudos to J.K. Rowling because I feel like the reason those were all so full is because she created such a full world.
Totally.
Like, there were so many spaces that everyone wrote their stuff in that, like, yours being in the staircase. I was like, oh yeah, the staircases and the talking pictures and Amanda's being where Myrtle was and then
it's
by like, the lake. It's like, all that is real.
It's
and
so rich
brain.
With different worlds in within the world. It's so cool.
How do I take a master class from J.K. Rowling on how to develop character?
I don't know.
I'm probably just going to reread Harry Potter and save money.
Yeah.
Okay.
My God. Also, can we briefly, since we don't have a question this week, can we just talk about the picture of Anne and Jessica Chastain that we saw this week?
So if you guys follow us on Twitter,
we've all tweeted about it.
And Anne, thank you for listening. We would like, if you could call us and let us know the backstory behind this photo.
Anne has so much swag in that picture.
Okay, so it's a picture of Anne Hathaway wearing a Ralph Lauren suit looking amazing and super gay. Like, oh my god, so gay.
Someone tweeted,
and Jessica Chastain is like, they're like holding each other. She's like holding.
It looks like an engagement photo.
It does.
Please and Google it.
Someone tweeted, "The Queen of Genovia left her husband and remarried." I love that so much.
Oh my god, it was the most beautiful photo I've ever seen.
And in a suit, I'm down.
Yeah. What if I just got that printed?
Guys, what if my type is just suits?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think that might be it. People in suits. I think that might be the common thread.
No, I think she's sexually attracted to suits.
Oh my god, wow. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. We debated for a while making that single picture the whole entire episode.
I mean, it still could be one episode.
Yeah.
It's a good picture, but we had just done the Anne Hathaway episode, so we thought we'd do something a little different.
It is time for a Chastain one, if you ever want to do that.
Oh my god, Amanda's you just face when she just said that.
That episode has to be the Chastain train. Yeah. For gayer.
Jessica Chastain, but gayer? I don't know. We don't know Chastain's
Panty
life.
Stain.
Oh
no,
my.
Jessica, let's not bring that back.
Panty stain. Wow. Well, that was such a fun episode, and now I feel magical inside.
Me too.
Same.
What's the end of our podcast?
Follow us on Twitter at QueerAsFic. Rate us on iTunes. Holler if you want to talk. I don't know. But also, if you guys, we love talking about this podcast. So if you guys are doing any, like if you write for your high school or college paper, or you want to do a little interview with us, you can actually email us at queerasfic@gmail.com and maybe we'll do a little interview with you.
And if you want to send us fanfics so we can read some in 2 weeks, send us to girlshiptv@gmail.com.
Make fanfic, but us being Harry Potter characters.
Oh, wow. That would be...
Write us into Harry Potter.
That would be cool.
Well, I liked when we were knights. That was cool.
Oh, my God. I loved that. I love those, like, otherworldly things.
It's called AU fanfic.
Yeah. Yeah, let's be in space, too. Let's be everywhere.
Wow.
Okay. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.
You guys know where to find us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.